And if all that you desire, or if all that you are, is not all that you desire, then come. Come. Let yourself be wrong. Come. It's already begun. Come. Come alone. Come with fear. Come with love. Come however you are. Just come. Come alone. Come with friends. Come with foes. Come. However you are, just come. Come alone. Come with me. Then let go. Come. However you are, just come. Come alone. Come so carefully closed. Come, however you are, just come. Come, come along, come with sorrows and songs. Come, however you are, just come. Come along, come, let yourself be wrong. Come, however you are, just come. So what is this place where you can go, somewhere you can go if all that you are is not what you desire? Somewhere where you can let yourself be wrong, somewhere you can go alone, you can go with fear, you can go with love, somewhere you can go when you're so carefully closed. Somewhere you can go with your sorrows and songs. Somewhere where you feel beloved, where you are known, where you are held. I didn't realize that this was a worship song when the worship team first played it during service in this church. I think it was Heather who introduced it to us. It was a heart-wrenching, emotional song that pierced through layers and layers of weariness and tiredness, layers and layers of it all. And at the heart of this song, and this song is actually by Damon Rice, Trusty and True. At the heart of this song, I heard an invitation. An invitation to a place where I can be safe. A place where I will not be judged, but loved. Somewhere where I can be held gently with all my brokenness, all the pieces and the missing pieces, and just be. In this song, I heard Christ's invitation, come, follow me. We here at FCC wants to be a community that allows everyone to come from where they are, whoever they are, to feel safe enough to be vulnerable, to stop feeling ashamed about who they are and what they have done, to stop feeling judged, and to begin their journey of faith and transformation and healing. If all that you are is not all that you desire, then come. Worship isn't just about praising God, but living out the commandment to love one another. Jesus didn't ask folks to praise him, but he's on his heart. The most important is love. Love each other as I love you. Christine D. Poles writes in the book that this is the last of the sermons we are basing on her book, Living in the Community, Cultivating Practices that Sustains Us. She writes, and today I'm talking about this, hospitality. Hospitality is at the heart of Christian life, drawing from God's grace and reflecting God's graciousness. In hospitality, we respond to the welcome that God has offered and replicate that welcome in the world. As we close off this sermon series, we bring together what we've been talking about in the past few weeks. Truth-telling, promise-making, promise-keeping, and gratitude. These are basis for hospitality and critical to how we want to live out FCC's motto, welcome home. Last week, Pauline offered 5 words: tell the truth in love. And not an easy thing to do. Pauline and I probably shared the same thing, and many of us share this as well. Because telling the truth and loving are difficult enough on their own. But to do them both at the same time is an even more difficult balancing act. When we lean too much on love, the truth we want to tell may be obscured with all the padding that we put around the truth. And we lean too much on the side towards the truth may be painful, hurtful, and cutting. And you all know which side I tend to lean towards, the side of truth, and almost speaking those words without consideration of how people may feel or react. But that is not all to truth-telling. Because truth-telling also includes telling truth about ourselves. How many of you spent several days spring cleaning before the Lunar New Year? All of you didn't do much spring cleaning. Okay. And how many of you actually followed Marie Kondo and start spring cleaning too and throw things out? Maybe that was more appealing to you. I did it because I was expecting guests. I did it because I didn't want to see the people, the state of the mess I live in. And we often do this cleaning up when we expect people to drop by. You know, maybe clear all the laundry and dump it in the laundry basket when, you know, I litter my clothes all around the living room. You know, come back home, I'm sweating and I just take off my T-shirt and it's on the sofa. And then you forget all about it and then one day, the T-shirt's right here. Christine DePaul says, hospitality is revelatory. If we invite people into our lives and homes, they'll see what's there. Hospitality and living truthfully meet here because welcome is not about putting on a show, but inviting people into our lives as we live them. When we truly make room for others, we cannot keep up false appearances for long. Hospitality is an invitation to mutual truthfulness. We need to be honest about who we are as a community. We want to be authentic, and we want to say what you see is what you get. And we are who we say we are. And we also are aware of our shortcomings, our limitations, our lack of knowledge or understanding, and we seek to learn. We acknowledge that. And that's part of being welcoming. In the early days of our community, we struggled because we were predominantly gay men who did not understand very well how the women feel. And we picked a location at Yangtze, which was sometimes very unsafe when women walked through. For those of you who do not know our history, we were at Yangtze in between, which is now torn down, in between cinemas that screened RA movies or something along the lines of soft porn that's allowed in Singapore. And there was a bar in the corner, a nightclub sort of, from our back door. It was a little seedy. And many women felt unsafe going there. Well, as with male privilege, I did not realize that. In more recent years, we started to grow a deeper understanding about our transgender siblings. We still struggle, many of us, myself included, to use the correct gender pronoun sometimes, and I'll slip into using the wrong pronouns for our transgender siblings, and even our genderqueer siblings, because they is just doesn't click in my head yet. But that journey of acknowledging that we have limitations and we're willing to learn is part of hospitality and welcome. And hospitality is also an invitation to mutual truthfulness. It also requires the guest, the stranger, the other, to be authentic as well. It is not a one-way street. And for those of you who are visiting us or who have just recently joined us, we also want you to invite you to be authentic with us, to be real with us, to connect with us. We do not want to create a church with a culture or with people coming in with a mindset of a consumer. You come in and you have something that you are seeking, you want from here. Once you get it, and then you leave. And you come in next week and you get the same thing. We are looking to build community. Jesus asked the two disciples of John the Baptist in the first chapter of John, because they started following him behind, he turned around and go, "What are you seeking?" And that's a question that we carry as we welcome people here. Those of you who have been to our newcomers meeting will realize sometimes we will go around introducing ourselves, the names, but we also ask, what are you seeking here? And I think that that's how our newcomers meetings are organized. And the surprising thing for me, because that newcomers meeting was a contact point to get to know people, right? I did not expect or anticipate the numerous occasions when people, the newcomers, became so vulnerable and shared their truths about their lives that sometimes surprised me. They shared about painful experiences that they encountered from their previous church. They shared about themselves. Some of them came out. It was surprising. That truthfulness, that honesty, that being authentic came, and something started. But it shouldn't stop there at the newcomers meeting. It is difficult to be more vulnerable, to go deeper, and to speak truths without promise making and promise keeping that I spoke about 2 weeks ago. It is promise making and promise keeping that create the safe spaces where we can open up, be vulnerable without fear, or even without fear of being hurt again. It is trusting that those around you will keep the promise of keeping confidence, that they will not share what you have shared with others. And it is trusting those in a group to honor the promise, not to judge. This is how we build a community where we can be honest about ourselves, our struggles, and our fears. It is how we build this community where if all that you desire is all that you are is not all that you desire, then come. Of course, this is a challenge sometimes when we have cell groups that have been established for a long time and we have people visiting. Because we have been vulnerable and built up a culture of sharing and vulnerability and honesty. And then when you have a visitor, it is like inviting people into your home. And it's a challenge to be real and not to put up a show and to risk letting someone in. But that's a journey that I think that we'll take steps to invite people so that we can encounter each other without the masks, without all the pretense, and love and care for each other. Do we have all the answers? No. When we have people with different needs and different wants and with different cultural background, our differences make it difficult to understand each other. Will we get everything right? No. We will, more often than we hope, get things wrong. In these 7-odd years serving this community, I made wrong decisions, spoke quite a few truths with too little love, and continue to wonder on some days, did I do it right? But as I reflect to again and again, I remember that I'm not called to get things right. I am called to love. And when I fail to get things right, then I act out of love and ask for forgiveness, ask for another chance, ask if I can do and make things better. And I invite all of you to do the same as well. Too often when we make a mistake and do things wrong, we give up and we stop doing it. And if we continue giving up all the time, then we'll get nothing done. It is the trust that we are doing this in love, trust that God is with us, trust that relationship that is built on, to offer, I'm sorry that I made a mistake here. Can you help me get this right? Can you help me learn to become better? This is the community that we want to be. I've come to realize hospitality isn't about having the perfect community. That you come into this church and you'll be welcomed by, you know, 10 people, and then you get hot coffee, you get great conversations after service. But having a community that is bound together by love and committed to each other. That promise making is not just a promise to create a safe space, a promise to keep what you share in confidence, but also a promise to each other that when the going gets tough, we hold on to each other and trust that relationship at the core of it, that we love each other, that we care for each other. Can we hold on to each other and continue to work with and work through our differences? We long to be a church that's diverse. We want to be aware of the issues that's in society, and we want to be different from the world out there. With the racism, sexism, ageism, is all the isms out there, we want to aspire to be different from that. We want to do something different as a community of followers of Christ, to be based on love. There's a lot to do. But we need to commit to working it through. We need to commit to not be too quick to take offense, especially when someone says the wrong thing and they are trying, especially when they are saying things that might trigger you, especially when we use the wrong gender pronoun. And we need to, and for us who are trying very hard, we need to always remember, how do I act in love, especially for someone who is, for example, transgender and is constantly being misgendered by the people around them? Can I aspire to do better, to not misgender them? And may I, and perhaps to always ask, what is the pronoun that you prefer me to use for you? Can we work on these small things that build up to big things? Can we, in our community, reflect the radical love of God? Because oftentimes when people talk about gender issues, sexual orientation, race, everything, do you think God is really concerned about all these things? Are these markers of our identities important to God or critical to God's love for us? No. God loves us, period. It's unconditional. That's the radical nature of that love. If we can we live out that understanding of God's unconditional love and learn to live that truth in our community, I return to this. In hospitality, we respond to the welcome that God has offered and replicate that welcome in the world. God has first welcomed us. God has first loved us. And it is our attempt to replicate that love and that welcome in the world. That's how we want to live. And when I talk about God's welcome, what comes to your mind? Everyone looks stunned. What comes to your mind when I talk about God's welcome? Unconditional. Jesus told many stories. What stories come to your mind when I talk about God's welcome? Is it the invitation to the house with many rooms? What? The prodigal son. I think the parable of the prodigal and his brother is one that we might not connect to hospitality. But as I was writing this sermon, it came back again and again. Perhaps because of my identity as a gay man and my own faith journey, struggling with accepting, realizing, and internalizing that God embraces me even though I'm gay. In spite of I'm gay. And He embraces me because I'm gay. That journey of self-acceptance reflected in the story of the prodigal in some way. I want to read it to you and listen to the story. Yes. And maybe there are some surprises and some things that come up for you. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to be one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pots that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you and have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This parable came to my mind because it's about God's welcome for us. It is about hospitality and not the usual scenario where one would be welcoming the stranger, but hospitality to those close to us. There are many questions on my mind after this, and I wonder if you have the same questions. What happens after the return of the younger son? How does he behave? Does he return to his old ways? Does he learn to be humble? Was he honest about wanting to be treated like one of the slaves, one of the servants? Does he contribute back to the family? Does he reconcile with his older brother? We don't know. How do you hope he would behave? We may not have run off with a portion of our inheritance and squandered it all away. We might have kept away from church because of what people said about us, or how people behaved in church, or what people told us that we are not worthy, we are not acceptable. We kept away. When we return, how do we relate with the community? How do we find our place here? And how do we find who we are and who we are called to be? It requires mutuality. The community needs to intentionally create the space for the one returning, and the one returning has to be involved to become part of the community. Are we cherished? Are we valued? Do we have a place to flourish? Do we belong? How do we react when we are the older siblings in the story? Do we treat those returning home ashamed, guilty, broken? How do we treat them? Do we acknowledge them? Or do we, like the older sibling in the parable, refuse to even acknowledge the relationship, only referring to the younger sibling as that son of yours? How do we cherish, value, and create a place for people who are different from us to flourish? How do we create a community where people different from us belong? How do we cope with this diversity that we have so that we can really truly be inclusive and celebrate the differences between us? How do we let go of all the assumptions and all the ideas that we have from the past, and that we can begin to encounter one another as siblings in Christ? How can we be hospitable? How can we be welcoming? I ask so many questions because these are the questions that should guide us as we live out what we mean by welcome home, the theme that we have picked up this year. I don't think that it is as important to have the answers of how to go about doing that. Because once we have the answers, the answer is for a particular situation and particular person. But that may not be applicable for someone in another situation. But when we are guided by questions, we are constantly evaluating what is the most loving thing that we can do for each other. What's the most loving thing I can do to create a space for this person, which might be very different from another person? Some of you come to church and would rather be left alone. Some of you do not want us to hound you and breathe down your neck, and because you might be introverted, you might be slow to warm up. Some of you might really appreciate that warm welcome. Some of you might want to be embraced and hugged because we are a rather physical church. And some of you might not. And we need to find a way in between. We have discussed this again many times in our church, especially, you know, during announcements. You know, we stand up and we welcome each other and we say hi. And sometimes people find themselves feeling very awkward about needing to, because we all go and say hi to each other and hug, and some of us may not be in that kind of space or appreciate that kind of physical hugging. How do we find ways to live out so that we can be as loving as we can for each other without having a prescribed way of loving or prescribed way that you must do A? I think that's hospitality. That invitation so that you can feel that you belong when you don't do things just like everyone else. You do not have to do the same thing as the rest so that you feel that you belong here. That's difficult in community building because that adds more complexity and that makes things a lot more complicated. But I believe that being church and being community is not about erasing these differences that we have, but appreciating them. Appreciating that each of us are different. Each of us have different life histories, and many of us are from different countries and cultures, and we behave, live out our lives in different ways. I want us to carry these questions as we build up Welcome Home, build upon this team. How do we live truthfully, speak the truth in love, tell the truth about ourselves? How do we promise each other, make promises to each other, and keep those promises? The promises that help us create a safe space for everyone. How do we commit to each other? How do we pledge that we will work through this when things get rough, when we have difference in opinions? How do we build each other up through that? How do we appreciate each and everyone's gifts and allow you to discover your gifts and allow that gift to be shared in the community? These are ways that we find one day that we belong, when we are recognized, when we are cherished, when we are celebrated, when our gifts are valued, we will feel that we belong. For those of you who have been here for quite a while, we might have gotten used to how we do things. I think that perhaps we want to rethink about that. There is no sacred cow that we cannot let go of. We want to rethink how we do things so that we become more welcoming and we become more aware of our blind spots that we have. And that journey is growth for the community and for the individual. For those of you who are visiting or have been visiting for a while and trying to find if this is the community to fit in, I invite you to find your place here. And if there's no place here, talk to us. Talk to us about your needs and your hopes and your dreams so that we can try create things, create that space to allow your gifts to bless us, to bless this community, so we can reflect that welcome God has welcomed, that welcome of God to the world. As we welcome each and every one of you, we want to live that out so that it is a testimony to God's love. And then we go out into the world to be the examples, to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God. I hope that we can find home here, where home is where we are cherished and celebrated, our gifts are valued, and our gifts sometimes are the things that we don't think are gifts. Oftentimes we don't realize some aspect of who we are, something that we might be even ashamed of, is a gift. I remember very long ago that we said, and I don't know whether it was Clarence or Reverend Yap who said, your sexuality is a gift. Your sexual orientation is a gift. And many of us struggled with that. And I struggled with that. But when I finally embraced that, that is a gift, I was able to live out my life more fully and love God more fully and love people more fully. May you find your gifts that you may not think are gifts. And may you feel that you belong here no matter what. Amen.